Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Could you hear it?
I could hear it, yes.
What did she say?
I have no idea.
Did she say, "My boyfriend, I left him and he never came home"?
I could not make that out.
You testified on direct examination that you were basically a passenger along in this ride on the early morning hours of January 29th, 2022, that you were not the person in charge, correct?
I was in the passenger seat and Miss Roberts was driving.
It's a bad question on my part. Let me see if I can reframe that. You testified that it was Carrie Roberts who was basically the take charge person in the scenario between and among the three of you, Miss Reed and Miss Roberts.
Yes, yes.
Not you, correct?
No.
You were just sort of along for the ride, assisting how you could, correct?
I was trying to help Miss Reed and find John O'Keefe.
If we could play a clip starting at, and I'm going to ask you, Miss McCabe, to take a look at several clips. The first one starting at 6:21 runtime to 7:41. It's just over a minute. With the court's permission?
Yes.
Pause this. Do you recognize the three individuals in the foreground of this video?
I do, yes.
Can you start from left to right and describe for the jurors who we're looking at?
I believe that's me in the black coat. To the right of me is Miss Roberts, and on the other side of the car is Miss Reed.
Miss Roberts has, just to distinguish, Miss Roberts seemed to have fur on her hood where you did not?
Yes.
If you could go ahead and play that, please. Pause it, please. Can you see who it appears you're talking to at that point?
I don't know who that is, no.
Go ahead and play it. Pause it. Does it appear that you're engaged in conversation with that person while Miss Roberts is attending to something in the truck and Miss Reed is running back and forth?
Yes, I was speaking to whoever that was.
Do you believe that was a police officer?
I believe, yes.
Go ahead and play it. Mr. Wolk, if you'll stop it at 7:41, please. Could you see what was depicted in the video for about that minute and 10 second runtime?
Yes.
Did it appear that you were engaged in conversation with that other person?
Yes.
When that other person walked away, could you see his jacket?
I couldn't make it out, no.
Did it appear to be he was a police officer?
I'm going to assume it was a police officer, yes.
Okay. In that video, who looks most like she is taking charge, you or Carrie Roberts?
Jackson.
Assistant.
Did it appear in that video that you're the one controlling the narrative, at least with law enforcement at that point?
Objection.
Sustained.
Does it appear in that video that you're the one engaging in conversation with law enforcement while Carrie Roberts and Ms. Reed are otherwise occupied?
I am speaking with law enforcement, yes.
Can we move to runtime 8:56? It. Can you see yourself in that video?
I can, yes.
Which person are you?
I'm in the far right.
Speaking to someone?
Yes.
Who is that you're speaking to?
I can't make it out, but it looks like a police officer, possibly.
And Ms. Roberts is directly in the middle of the screen, is that right?
I thought that was Ms. Reed, but I could be wrong.
Let's go ahead and play it. And at 9:26, you'll stop, please. In that video clip, who among the three of you appear to be most engaged with law enforcement at that time?
Can you tell? Can you answer that, Ms. Reed? I mean, can you answer that, Ms. McCabe?
Yes, I can. I was speaking to police officers. Yes, I was trying to help them.
Okay. Can we go to runtime 10:49? This will be from 10:49 to 11:55, Mr. Wolk. Pause it. Who is it that's just gesticulating in the video?
That is me.
Can we go ahead and play it? Did you see yourself in that video, that clip, about a minute-long clip?
Yes, I did.
Who among the three of you appeared to be most engaged with law enforcement in that clip?
I was.
Runtime 20:22, Mr. Wolk. Do you see yourself in that video?
I do, yes.
You've just walked in from frame right?
Yes.
From frame right going left?
Yes, behind Ms. Roberts.
Okay,
yes.
And that's you right in the middle of the screen?
Yes, it is.
And Ms. Roberts had already run through, went to her SUV, correct?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and play. This is about a 2-minute clip for the court's edification.
All right.
And this is the last of them. Mr. Wolt, can you pause it? Can you tell who you're speaking to there?
I think it's Mike Lang.
Let's go ahead and play it. May I have just a moment, Your Honor? Ms. McCabe, who was most engaged in that clip with law enforcement? Between and among you and Carrie Roberts and Ms. Reed?
I was.
You noticed when Mr. O'Keefe was placed on the gurney in a prior clip and moved past you, correct?
Yes.
Did you notice what your reaction was when that gurney passed you?
I didn't know.
Did you see that you turned your back completely to Mr. O'Keefe as he passed by?
If that happened, it wasn't on purpose.
Ms. McCabe, when you got to the scene, we can take that down. When you got to the scene at 6:03 in the morning, you immediately recognized, did you not, that this was an emergency situation, high-intensity emergency situation, correct?
I knew it was an emergency situation, yes.
As a matter of fact, a man's life was in grave danger. You knew that?
Yes, I did.
And this is someone that was a friend of yours, correct?
Yes, he was a dear friend.
Not just a friend, but a police officer who was laying, as far as you knew, dying in the snow. Is that right?
Yes.
You knew that you needed to get immediate medical attention, emergency medical attention to him as quickly as you possibly could. Is that right?
Yes.
You knew that minutes counted, right?
Yes.
You knew that seconds counted, correct?
Correct.
This man was grasping, as far as you knew, grasping and clinging to life at that moment. Is that right?
Yes.
That's why you called 911, to get emergency personnel who are trained in CPR and life-saving measures to the scene, to the gentleman, to Mr. O'Keefe, as quickly as you possibly could, correct?
Yes.
You called 911 at about 6:03 and 35 seconds. Is that right? I don't expect you to know down to the second, but it was about a couple of minutes after 6.
Right after, we found him, yes.
And you're aware from the dash cam that Officer Serif got there about 6:10. Almost on the nose, right?
I didn't pay attention to the time.
You'll agree with me that there was about 6.5 minutes or so between the time you called 911 and the time Officer Serif got there. Is that right?
If that's what the dash cam says, yes.
On that 911 call, you referred to John O'Keefe as a man passed out in the snow.
Yes.
You didn't say, this is my friend?
I needed to get, like you said, emergency there. So I wasn't going to give a I wasn't going to give a description and say, my friend is in the snow. I was going to give them the information that I thought was the most important at the time.
Did you say his name?
I just said a man because that was the most important identifying.
You didn't say John?
Eventually in the 911, I do say his name.
You didn't initially say O'Keefe, correct?
No, none of that matters. It was a man in the snow, and I wanted help there.
And you didn't say he's a Boston police officer or an off-duty police officer?
Again, a man needed help.
Yes or no? Did you say that?
I didn't.
Do you think that might, yes or no? Do you think that might have sped things up if they knew, if the 911 operator knew that this was a fallen officer, a fellow officer?
I think 911 comes to everyone equally. I don't think they would have.
Do you think that might have been something important to relay to the 911 officials?
I don't know.
You even asked by the 911 operator, does anybody know CPR? And your answer was no, correct?
I'd have to listen to it to remember my exact answers.
But it was basically in the negative. No, we're not professionals. We're just out here doing the best we can, correct?
I wouldn't say that, no.
You didn't believe Karen Reed knew CPR?
I didn't know. I don't think I answered that question. I don't think it was asked.
You didn't know if Carrie Roberts knew CPR, correct?
I didn't know if they knew CPR, correct.
And none of you were paramedics?
No.
None of you are first responders?
No.
None of you are trained in emergency life-saving techniques in any way, correct?
Correct.
I have a question, Ms. McCabe. Mm-hmm. On all of Fairview, the entire road between Chapman and Cedar Crest, can you think of any person on that road who might have had life-saving techniques trained into them? First responder. Someone who knew how to deal with someone in distress. Someone with high skill level training. Do you think of anyone on Fairview who had that kind of training?
Can I now or did I then? Which are you asking?
Did you then?
No, then my focus was on John O'Keefe.
Okay, let me narrow the focus. How about on the property? How about at 34 Fairview? Could you think of anyone that was a first responder who would have life-saving training, life-saving technique training? Under his belt?
Yes, my brother-in-law, Brian Albert.
And you didn't go in the house, did you?
No, I did not.
When you arrived at the scene, you didn't go in? Not until much later, correct?
Our focus was John.
You knew that Brian Albert was inside the house. You'd just been with him hours earlier, correct?
Yes.
You knew that his window was 30 feet away. You were staring at it. You could look at it if you wanted to, correct?
It's off to an angle.
And you didn't go in the house then either?
I did not, know.
You knew that John O'Keefe was clinging to life during those precious minutes and seconds. Is that right?
I did, yes.
And you also knew that Brian Albert, your brother-in-law, was a first responder trained to deal with people in that kind of distress, correct?
In that moment, my only thoughts were John and everything we could do for John.
And you knew that there were warm blankets inside the house. Is that right?
I did. Yes, there were warm blankets in the house.
And you still never went in, did you?
No, I went and attended to John because once I finished calling 911, I went over to John and Kerry Roberts asked me to take over compressions. So I felt like that was more important and 911 was on the way. I never thought about going in the house. I just thought, how can I help John?
You never thought about going in the house? But you did pull out your cell phone and make two phone calls, didn't you?
After I called 911, I tried calling my sister, yes.
While John was out in the cold, clinging to life, you weren't doing chest compressions at 607 and 608, were you?
I was walking over when I was calling.
You were calling your sister on the phone, weren't you, Mr. McKay?
I was calling them to see if they would come out, but I was going right over to work on him.
And you could have walked the 25 feet to the front door, walked in the house and screamed for Brian Albert to come out and help you in those precious seconds and minutes, couldn't you?
That would have taken me away from helping John, getting Kerry blankets, giving him compressions.
And making those two very important phone calls at 607 and 608 that you say were not answered, correct?
They were not important phone calls. I tried to call my sister and then I focused on John.
They were not important phone calls, but they were important enough for you to make while John is clinging to life right there in front of you, right?
As I was walking over, I called to see if she would answer.
And she didn't answer. Let's talk about that. She didn't answer, according to you.
So if we're going to talk about it, we're beyond the luncheon break?
Your Honor, I have two more questions.
Okay.
And I'll wrap it.
Okay.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Sure.
She didn't answer the phone, did she?
No, she didn't.
So you have a situation where a man is laying dead or dying in the front yard of your sister's house, you see nothing in terms of life inside the house. Lights aren't coming on. They're not getting up. They're certainly not coming outside, right?
They were sound asleep.
They weren't coming outside, were they?
Because they were asleep.
You didn't know if they were asleep. All you knew was there was a severely injured man on the front lawn of their house, and your sister didn't answer the phone, not once, but twice, correct?
Correct. She didn't answer the phone.
Did you think your sister might have been in peril? Did you think to go inside the house and check that they're okay?
I had no reason to think that they weren't okay.
You had no reason to believe they weren't okay. A man was dead or dying on their lawn, and your sister's not answering the phone. And nobody is coming out to the chaos of Karen Reed screaming on the front lawn. You didn't think there was some reason to believe they could have been in peril?
I didn't, because your client was screaming she hit him. She had a cracked taillight. She was crying she hit him. I didn't, but my focus... Can I finish, please?
You had solved the crime right then and there. You solved the whole case.
No, I didn't. I knew John never came in the house, so I had no concern for anyone's safety inside the house.
The reason you didn't go inside the house is because you knew better. You knew better. You knew she wasn't in peril. You knew that Brian Albert wasn't in peril. You weren't worried at all about them, were you?
I was not worried at all because something happened on the front lawn that had nothing to do with anything inside that house.
You weren't worried about them at all because you knew what really happened, didn't you, Ms. McKinney?
At that moment, I didn't know that he was hit by a vehicle and there was taillight found next to him.
That's all I have.
All right, jurors, lunch and break. Let's take 40 minutes.
Follow
up on my...
Jurors, please
follow
up.
Yeah, I
understand
this.
Okay.
And
how long
is it?
We're
now opening the seat. All right, so counsel's 10 minutes late. I just, as I was walking out here, was told that the Commonwealth needs to see me.
Your Honor,
Oh, hold on, Ms. Reed's not here. All right, so counsel wanted to see me here or at sidebar?
I have no preference.
All right, if it's something to be done in open court, go right ahead.
So we had mentioned earlier at the end of Ms. McCabe's testimony, I have clips that I would like to play. There is a dispute regarding two of them, and I've given previous notice to the defense they've would like different content in than I would, and I would hope to have a court's ruling before I played them.
All right, so I received an envelope, court copy clip 17 was the only one I was given that was in dispute.
That's a new one. The other one was previously turned over to the court.
Okay.
The ones we have a dispute on are clip 13 and clip 15.
Okay. So I viewed the other clips. There's an objection to 13 and 15. There's an objection to them? All right. Let's play them. They're quick, right?
Yes, they are.
Play them very quickly.
It's not that we object to playing them. It's that they're incomplete. So should we finish her answer? So we're just asking that it be extended so that she can actually complete. So we've produced alternative clips. So there's two for each, 13 and clip 15.
All right. So the Commonwealth gets to play what they want, and then you can play yours at some point, too.
Well, If we don't have time, I can wait to have a hearing on this. I don't think the defense can play in self-serving statements because they think it's
okay. I haven't seen it. All right. I saw clip 17. I have no problem with clip 17 coming in.
I don't think they have an objection to 17. The ones that are objectionable, I know we're pressed on a Friday. I can hold them till next week until the dispute becomes more clear for the court.
Okay.
It sounds like this is going to take more time than I thought.
All right. So I need what you have, Ms. Little. I need that to review this weekend. All right. Anything else?
The second issue is I should approach the side.
Okay.
Session, please be seated.
Can we bring Ms. McCabe in, please? Jurors, I know I said it was a 45-minute lunch. I apologize. No one intended to waste your time like this, particularly when we don't have much time left. Ms. McCabe, please. All right, whenever you're ready, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Mrs. McCabe.
Good afternoon.
I want you to briefly tell us your memory of the weather when you first arrived at Fairview, when you left at Fairview, and when you returned the next morning a little after 6 a.m.
Okay. When I arrived at Fairview on the evening, early hours of the 29th, the snow was falling, you know, just starting to fall, starting to stick to the street and onto the windshields. When I left Fairview, it had, you know, accumulated more where my husband had to wipe the windows. And then the following morning, when we were driving there, it was dark and the snow was like coming out the car. Like, it was very hard to see.
When you returned the next morning, we've seen video from the dash cam. The elements, the visibility, is that fairly depicted in that dash cam?
Yes. Obviously it was lit more because of the lighting and the spotlights, etc.
From the moment that you first saw John until you went into your sister's home, is it fair to say a number of different first responders arrived?
Yes.
When the first responders arrived, did you see a number of different vehicles arrive?
I did, yes.
Did any of them have their sirens on?
Not that I recall.
Ambulance, fire truck, police cars, do you remember ever any siren on at all?
Not that I recall now.
And your sister and brother-in-law, you described how you went in the house and woke them up. They never came out before you woke them up?
No, they didn't.
There was a house right next to where you found John before 34. Do you know what address that is?
I would assume it's 32.
Did you ever see anybody come out of 32 Fairview and come over to John in the scene to help out?
No.
Across the street, there's a house that's in between 32 and 34 if you cross the street?
Yes.
Did you ever see anybody come out of that house and offer assistance to help?
No.
There's a house right across the street from 34 Fairview, isn't there?
Yes.
And did anybody ever come out of that house and come over to assist?
No.
When you were trying to help John that moment, have you ever been trained in emergency aid?
Probably 25, 30 years ago.
Your state of mind. Best describe how you were feeling at that moment as far as your focus and what was going through your mind.
I was shocked, confused, nervous, scared, anxious, my friend was lying there on the ground. I had no idea what happened. All I wanted to do was to get help for John and as fast as I could.
You saw her on the dash cam. You spoke to a number of different people in law enforcement?
Yes.
In fact, during that day, a number of different people from law enforcement, did they call you?
Objection.
I'll allow that. Move along to Mr. Bradford.
Did a number of people call you from law enforcement that day?
On the day of the 29th?
Yes.
Michael Proctor called me.
Okay. Did you speak to law enforcement after that day?
Yes.
Were you asked to engage in interviews?
Yes.
Were you asked to testify in front of grand juries?
Yes.
Were you asked to come to court and testify?
Yes.
Did you ever once refuse to speak to the police?
No.
Did you ever once refuse to testify?
No.
When you were speaking to the police on that dash cam, it's depicted on the dash cam, why were you speaking to the police?
Well, each officer that arrived had a set of questions of who it was, what happened, etc. So I was answering all the questions because my main focus was John.
Did you ever try to be evasive with the police?
No, I told them everything I knew.
Did you ever try to avoid speaking to them?
Objection.
The form.
Did you ever hold anything back from the police when you spoke to them?
I'll allow that, and then let's move on, Mr. Brady.
No, I didn't.
When you interviewed with many different law enforcement and people involved in this case, were you ever given an opportunity to review somebody else's report after it was written and provide edits or your input?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
No.
When you testified, are you testifying from what somebody wrote? They interpreted what you said months or years ago, or are you testifying from your own memory?
Objection.
I'm testifying from my own memory.
You called 911?
Yes.
And that morning when you called 911, well, let me ask you, do you wear an Apple Watch?
I do have one, yes.
When you were speaking to 911 that morning and during that event, how did you feel?
Extremely nervous, anxious, scared, uncertain, panicked.
Do you think your heartbeat was up?
Yes.
At 2:27, the night before or around that time when you were looking up Hockomock before you went to bed, were you of the same state of mind, of fear and panic, or were you in a very different state of mind?
Objection.
Strike the fear and panic part. You can answer that, though. Were you of the same mind or different?
Different.
What was your state of mind at that time?
I was relaxed, just playing on my phone, looking up things before I went to bed.
Do you think your heartbeat was as elevated that evening as it was the next morning?
Objection.
Sustained.
When you made a search for how long to die in the cold, or how long to die in cold, is that something that you thought of for yourself?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
Now.
Why did you do it?
Miss Reed asked me to Google it.
And when was that?
That was in the morning after we found him.
And had you ever attempted either of those searches before Miss Reed asked you to do that?
No, I didn't.
You were asked questions about the next day when you visited the O'Keefe home and you read some records. Do you remember those questions?
Yes.
Do you remember going to the O'Keefe home?
I do, yes.
You went with who?
With Carrie and our two daughters.
You remember how many hours you spent with the O'Keefe family?
I don't remember the how many hours, say a few.
Was it over three or four?
Could have been, I'm not sure.
What is the reason that you spend so much time at the O'Keefe home the next day?
We went over to offer support, love, comfort, to be with them.
You weren't avoiding them, were you?
No.
Sustained.
After you left the O'Keefe home and reading the records, I don't know if this is your memory, it was suggested it was 5:12. Do you remember going to Fairview?
I remember driving by Fairview on the way to Mike Lang's.
When you went to Fairview, you asked questions about when you stopped by, whether that meant you went in or were outside. Do you remember whether you went in or were outside?
We never went in.
Have you seen your phone records that there are no calls to your sister when you went by Fairview at that time?
Objection.
I haven't, no.
And when you went by, you were asked about that. In fact, you had been asked about that before, hadn't you? Whether you stopped by?
Yes.
And Attorney Jackson showed you part of that statement?
Yes.
Did you, when you were saying that's part of the statement, did you read the whole statement to yourself?
I did.
And to put that in completeness, had you, under oath, talked about the fact that you went by that day?
I'm confused by your question.
Okay. May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
You were shown page 181 and then 182?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you were asked about that before, had you in fact offered under oath that you did go by Fairview?
Yes.
When you stopped by Fairview, according to the questions you were asked, or the records you were asked to read, it was 4 minutes you stopped by Fairview. Does that sound like your memory?
No, I know we drove by, slowed down, and we were looking outside.
Why did you want to go back to the very scene that you had seen that morning?
I think we'd, Carrie and I just, I'm not really sure. I think we just drove down and we...
All right, so your answer is not really sure.
Okay.
Next question.
And then according to the records that were read to you, you went to Detective Lang's house?
Yes.
And you were at that address for about 40 minutes, 50 minutes?
Yes.
You were read or shown certain text messages between you and some of your family?
Yes.
Was that a complete listing of the text messages in order that were on your phone?
I had a lot of text messages with them on my phone, yes.
Were some missing from what you were shown?
I'm not sure.
Okay. You were asked about your state of mind. I'm going to ask you about some of those text messages in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You were asked about calls and text messages to John O'Keefe?
Yes.
Have you ever inadvertently called anybody before on your iPhone?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
Yes, many times.
And you were asked whether or not you remembered or knew that those calls were made to Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes.
Did you purposely make those calls?
No, I do not believe so.
If you inadvertently called on purpose, it wouldn't be inadvertent, would it?
True.
Did John ever answer any of your calls after that 1218 call?
No, he didn't.
And when you were reaching out to him, did you reach out to him the next morning after you heard from the defendant?
I did, yes.
What?
No, next question, Mr. Boyd.
Why were you reaching out to him?
Because I was trying to get in touch with him. Because Ms. Reed said he didn't come home.
You were asked about your state of mind over the next couple days?
Yes.
Okay. And I'd like to ask you about some of the text messages reflecting your full state of mind over the next couple days.
All right, this has to be really brief. All right, jurors, you're about to hear some evidence, and remember I told you this morning that before you consider any electronic communication in your deliberations, you must first find that it is more likely true than not that the person who authored or created or sent, transmitted this communication was in fact the person alleged to have done so. If you do not find it is more likely true than not that the person alleged to have transmitted, created these messages, then you may not consider the electronic communication in deciding this case. And remember, what you're about to hear, you're not to use for the truth of the statement. It goes simply to the state of mind of Ms. McCabe at the time of the message. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you. May I approach with a copy for the witness?
Yes.
Thank you.
Jeez.
When law enforcement asks for your phone, was there any requirement you give that to them?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you voluntarily consent to give your entire phone to law enforcement?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Yes, I did.
I handed you a document that reflects your text messages from that morning and the next day. You were asked about some of them on the screen. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, and you were asked how that affected your state of mind and the decisions that you were making, correct?
Yes.
I want to read along, and I'll indicate if you look at the number on the left, and then I'll read it, and you can let me know if I read it accurately.
Okay.
Starting at number 17, there's a phone call saying, please answer. Who are you calling?
I'm sorry, where does it say?
May I approach?
Yes.
Oh, that's the number right
this
there.
This would be the number. This would be the calling. This
okay.
Would be...
Okay, so it's Joan O'Keefe. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Sorry.
Okay. All right, number 17, phone call, please answer. Who are you calling?
Joan O'Keefe.
Do you know at that point where he is?
No.
459-49, number 18. Karen is worried. We need to find you.
Joan O'Keefe.
504-40, number 19. Please answer so I know you're okay. Who are you calling?
Joan O'Keefe.
26-515-41-129. Okay, I'm trying to call people. I will be in touch soon. Do you know who you're calling?
I don't recognize the number. Okay.
What are you thinking at this point?
I'm trying to find people. I'm trying to call people so that I can try to find John.
Number 31, 522-57-129. Okay, I tried to Beattie. Okay, I just talked to her. What are you referring to?
I don't know whose number this is.
Okay. At this point in the morning, you're making these phone calls. Do you know where John is?
No, I have no idea where he is.
Turn to number 48, 129-22 at 844. You're texting, any update? What is your state of mind?
Which number is this?
Number 48.
48. I believe that may be to Kerry Roberts, and I'm trying to get an update from the hospital.
You were asked about your relationship with Kerry Roberts. At that time, before that night, how many times had you met her?
Once.
And you said in the moment, did that relationship change?
Yes, instantly.
Was it for collusion?
No.
Let me ask you, number 160, this is 129 at 2 in that afternoon. Do you have 160?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, I'm here.
160. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't stop seeing him in the snow. Jen, this is awful. Who's that from?
Kerry.
Is your state of mind collusion?
No.
Objection.
I'll allow it. Don't ask it again, please, Mr. Brennan.
168. $129.22 at 204.32. You're calling Miss Roberts. Every time I close my eyes, it's all I see. I feel like I'm going to vomit. I just can't even. I know how close you two were. Can't imagine how hard the situation is for you. Does this reflect your state of mind that day?
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
We have to approach.
Objections noted. Next question.
We need to approach on this particular text.
Come to cyber. Okay.
May I approach your honor?
Yes.
This number, I won't read it, but this number on top, whose number is that?
That is 9.
And the bottom number is who it's going to?
Yes.
So this text message, is this what you wrote?
Yes, it is.
To Kerry?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I won't read that last text message again, however, it is correct that that text message was from you to Ms. Roberts, number 168?
Yes, it was.
And the response in this text message, number 169, from Ms. Roberts to you, you were also, this is awful, Jen, I'm in shock?
Yes.
Number 170? And this one is from Miss Roberts to you. 129.22 at 205.45. I literally am having wine. I don't know what to do. Calm down.
Yes.
171 at 206.35 on 129.22. From you to Miss Roberts. I know I am definitely in shock and it keeps hitting me. I just feel so sick. Is that accurate?
Yes.
I'm going to read one more. 172. And this is from Ms. Roberts to you at 213.41 on 129.22. I don't know what to even do. I'm so sorry for both of us. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Number 175. Again to Ms. Roberts, 214.15, 129.22. Do you text, I talked to Peggy, I am devastated for them?
Yes.
And did you follow up seconds later at 214.56 on 129.22? I am so sick to my stomach.
Yes.
That day, did you have to speak to your children about what happened?
I did, yes.
Was that part of your state of mind that day?
Yes.
I'll allow that.
Okay. Number 208 or 207. You receive a text from this number. I don't want to say it out loud, but if you could read it, 207, do you know who that's from?
I don't.
Okay, we'll move to the next one then. 208, 129.22, 342.06. I have never felt so sick. Is that accurate?
Yes.
number 210, 43340, 12922. You text messaging somebody?
Yes.
You know who that is?
I don't, just off of the number.
Okay. And this text message, is this from you to somebody?
Yes.
My mind is racing. I have that awful feeling in my gut like I am about...
I'll allow it. Sent by this witness, allegedly.
My mind is racing. I have that awful feeling in my gut like I am about to puke. Besides seeing the awful image, trying to wrap my head around what happened to him. Is that accurate?
Yes.
This is on 12922 at 43820. Do you know who was texting you?
Yes.
Who?
My friend.
Once things settle, you need to talk to someone and process the trauma. And then 214, you respond, 12922, 44038. I have been shaking since this AM. I feel so sick. Everything started to be a blur and all run into each other.
Yes.
And this is at 44038 at 12922?
Yes.
And during that day, you've spoken to law enforcement?
Yes.
And the days that follow?
Yes.
I'm going to move to 12922, 752. If you look at number 289, please.
Okay.
At 289, is this a text from your sister, Nicole?
Yes.
Any update? Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And you were shown this text at 292?
Yes.
And you texted your sister, Kerry talked to cops, kept it simple?
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
I mean, the cops had gone to her house, but she had a long day and been drinking some wine, so she said she just made it quick.
And you were sharing that with your sister?
Yes.
And was your sister part of many of these texts as part of your support group?
Yes.
Did anybody tell you that you shouldn't rely on your family and have a conversation about what you went through?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
No, no one did.
And during that text time, the one I just read to you was at 7:54:38. Turn to 296, 12922 at 7:56:50. Did your sister text you, okay, try get some sleep, talk tomorrow?
Yes.
And did you text back at 7:57? Yes, but don't feel pressure?
Yes.
And the next one, 298 at 7:57:07, was your sister asking you for any updates?
Yes.
And at 7:57:13, did she text you, I love you, don't beat yourself up, you did the best you could?
Yes.
In just a few minutes later, one at number 308, please. 12922 at 8:01 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Did your sister again write to you, okay, text me in the a.m. if you hear anything later?
Yes.
And you continued texting with her?
Yes.
Okay. You were asked about a timeline?
Yes.
Okay. If you turn to number 761, please.
761?
761, please.
What page is that on?
248.
I'm missing page 248.
You don't have a two page 48?
No, it stops at 212 and picks up at 253.
Yes, yeah, the witness, Your Honor.
Yes.
Can you remind us who asked you to put together a timeline?
Peggy.
Peggy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
2 days later, January 31st, 2022, and this is at 10:26:29 a.m. Are you texting Ms. Roberts?
I am.
Okay. I have spent the a.m. trying to process that he is really gone and try to piece together all the events. Is that part of the process of the timeline?
Yes.
At some point on the 31st, was something happening around Fairview Road that you learned?
I believe there was police presence.
Was there any presence from the media, the press?
Oh, yes, there was.
Was that causing any concern?
I believe I talked to Peggy, and she was...
Persisting.
And so on January 31st, 2022, we're at number 864.
Mm-hmm.
You're receiving information. Do you know who this number is that's calling you?
That's my sister.
Which one?
Nicole.
And she's texting you... News people came by and knocked on the door again. They're all leaving now, Peggy, and them left about 15 minutes ago?
Yes.
And then at 1 o'clock, 18 seconds on 1:32:22, you text back, did you answer the door?
Correct.
Was this part of your state of mind on the 31st, what was going on around the house?
Yes.
Just a few more.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.